Scripture this morning comes from Exodus 31, 1 through 11. That's page 74 in your pew Bible. The Lord spoke to Moses, "See, I have called the name of Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with divine spirit, with ability, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of craft, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood in every kind of craft. Moreover, I have appointed with him Oholiab, son of Ahishama, of the tribe of Dan. I have given skill to all the skillful, so that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, and the ark of the covenant, and the mercy seat that is on it, and the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings, which all its utensils, and the basin with its stand, and the finely worked vestments, the holy vestments for the priest Aaron, and the vestments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place. They shall do just as I have commanded you."
Thank you, choir. And thank you, Carrie. You got through Oholiab and Ahisamach just fine. I thought you might stumble over Aaron, but no. The story is told by Carol McIntyre from Knoxville, Tennessee. A few years ago during VBS, children were asked to bring boxes of crayons as their offering. Each day they would place these boxes in a large basket in the fellowship hall, so that they could be given to children in the neighborhood who did not have the ability to get even crayons. Wednesday of the week, there was a blue plastic container in that basket. The plastic container was covered with stickers. It was filled with used crayons. In marker scribbled across the top was the name Ricky. You see, Ricky was part of a Latino family of immigrants who worked in the area, and Ricky had come to VBS all week long. His family didn't have money to purchase crayons for the offering of crayons that week, so Ricky brought all of his own crayons to offer them to someone who had need. No one had asked him to do this, but he wanted to do it and to give from his heart so that somebody else could color. Ricky, according to Carol, continues to serve their church as a reminder that every person can contribute to the work of God in the world, regardless of who they might be. And it begs the question to us all, but especially today, dads, what's our contribution? What do we contribute to the life of our children, to the life of our community, to the life of our church? Chris mentioned earlier that his dad contributed to his knowledge of tools by not being able to use them, so he sought out someone else. But his dad contributed to his life and his knowledge with his Bible. I don't do plumbing stuff, and I inherited that from my father. I've told some of you before, and if you've heard this story before, you just have to sit through it again. But my dad decided there was a leak in the faucet in the kitchen, and my dad decided he was going to fix it one afternoon as my mother was cooking supper. Only my dad thought that he could change out the O-rings without going out to the street, lifting the cover and turning off the water to the entire house. It finally got turned off when there was 3 inches of water in the kitchen floor and it was running into the den. And my mother said that my father was never allowed to pick up any tool and go near any plumbing for as long as they were married, and he didn't ever again do that. I rarely mess with plumbing things. Water can do a lot of damage. In the passage for today, though, Moses calls the children of Israel together to give an offering for the building of the tabernacle, as well as the priestly garments and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the tabernacle at this point was a special tent called the Tent of Meeting that housed the Ark of the Covenant. And you could have been in any of those storms that brought the rain and the hail this past week with no shelter. And the first thing that was set up was the tabernacle or tent of meeting. Before you set up a tent to take care of your family, you set up that tent to house the Ark of the Covenant, which showed the presence of God. And he calls on them to use their expertise as builders, as craftsmen. If we continue to read in this passage, the women come and they bring yarn and they bring cloth and they weave the garments. They weave the special curtains for that tent as well. So the whole community comes down from the mountain, the edges of the mountain, when Moses has come down, and calls them together, young and old, men and women. Everyone with a willing heart contributed to that offering, whether it was with money or their skills. If we continue to read on, we would find that they bring necklaces of gold, earrings of gold, rings of gold to be melted down to cover the Ark of the Covenant. Anything that they could give, they did so. All brought of everything as a wave offering to the Lord. And it's interesting that just a few chapters earlier in Exodus, we find that they brought gold for the golden calf, the golden bull. Now their gold will be used to make the tabernacle, to overlay the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubim, to make menorahs, the candlesticks, to cover the altar of incense, and even the table for the bread of the presence. All of these were covered in layers of gold and crafted very carefully by these craftsmen. What kind of response did Moses get when he called them forth? If we read the rest of Exodus, we find that the people brought so much and were giving so generously that at one point Moses asked them to stop bringing because they didn't have any place to store it. I don't think that's a problem in most churches today, but that was a problem at that point in time. So much was brought that Moses had to ask them to stop. We also find in this passage the expectation that people would give of their time and talents in addition to finances. Most of the artisans and craftsmen were men, though women were welcomed to help in any way that they could. And it's interesting that the leader appointed to guide the construction was a master craftsman. I know you've all heard of Bezalel. No, most people haven't. I was talking with a colleague of mine the other day and said something about, I decided to pick one of the better known characters in the Bible to talk about today. And he said, "Who's that?" I said, "Bezalel." And he said, "Who?" And this guy's older than me and been in ministry much longer than me. Bezalel, which means under the shadow of God. The name means under the shadow of God. He is the builder of the Ark of the Covenant, building it out of acacia wood as he was instructed, sculpting the cherubim that are on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, crafting the menorah and helping to build the altar of incense. We find later in Exodus that those are things attributed to Bezalel. And he is described in an interesting way I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship. By the way, this is the first person. Remember Abraham and Noah and Moses and all these other people? This is the first person in the biblical text where the phrase filled with the Spirit of God is used. This is not an ordained priest. This is not the great leader Moses. It's not Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. This is a layperson. A craftsman. And God says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. He was open to God and to God's Spirit. And as a result, Bezalel is given this position of leadership in serving. In serving for the tabernacle, in serving the people of God. Bezalel was so willing to offer his time, talent, money, and self that these words are used to describe him from God Himself. It's not a designation that Moses gives him. The text says, God says, I have given him. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. We find here that God values that willingness and that openness. If we will just have the same willingness and openness of Bezalel, every bit as much as Moses and Moses' leadership. And in verse 6, God's commentary on Bezalel continues. I have endowed all the wise-hearted with wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded you. And he's speaking that directly of Bezalel and those who are under his leadership. This contribution of these persons involved taking care of the place for worship, of giving of their gold and their money, of using their talents, and of teaching their children to do so. Of teaching their children to do so. For God, even in creating these prescribed garments for worship, the priestly garments, found willing servants who set that example. For their children, their children's children, for neighbors' children, for other men and women. Moses. Moses, this religious leader, defers to those who can build, who can craft, who can spin yarn, who can sculpt. He gives them that challenge which comes from God, and then they're expected to carry forth. And Moses defers to them because Moses was not one who built and sculpted. Here we find examples of how God calls and equips each person to work in God's kingdom and God's work and life on the earth. The women included or contributed in their ways, including weaving fine linens. The Levites are called together as priests. Everyone, both then and today, everyone has a purpose and can contribute to God's work in the world. Everyone is encouraged to contribute and to give freely and wholeheartedly. But we have to have that openness and that willingness of spirit to do so. One commentator, in writing about this passage, records that there is a church in England where, and I quote, the end panel of each pew on the aisle was left to be plain wood, to be carved by each pew holder according to his ability. Some painting, some sculpturing, some woodworking, and even music was born to the glory of God. He goes on to say, the artist is not a special kind of man. Yes, I see. But every man is a special kind of artist. I call a plumber because I don't have that ability. Not if I want to continue to remain in the same household with my wife. Until they got rid of points and condensers and carburetors. I had a Volkswagen one time that taught me. I got the point I could replace the points, plugs, condensers, and the carburetor in the dark, because about every 2 weeks I was having to do something to it. But my car today, I defer to folks like Brent. We all have our particular artistry within us, each and every one of us. And God calls us to use that and to be used in God's kingdom. The magnificent temple of God, wherein He shines in all of His glory, is intellect. And His gift to those who worship therein is skill. So, Dad, when we think about Bezalel and all of these others who followed his leadership, when we think about later how his children and other folks' children continued to follow God, not always in every moment, but many remained open to God's leading, the question comes back to you and me. Dad, what is your contribution? What do you give and what do you teach? Do you bring your family with you to worship? Or are you one of those that just drops them off or doesn't care either way? Do you tithe as God requires and teach your children to do so? Do you read and study the Bible and pray privately and with your family so that they too might see that example of craftsmanship and workmanship that God has given to you? Do you give your talents and skills and gifts, not only in building but in upbuilding the church? And do we teach our children the importance of each and every one of these things, of being open to God and God's leading? Do we open our lives to God's intellectual challenges and to the skills that we are given to advance God's kingdom on the earth? That's God's desire for us. Bezalel probably thought he would be lost in the crowd, and yet God chose him. I have filled him with my Spirit, God said. So dads, let's not be left out of God's desires. May we each take time to think about how God wants to use us, not for our own glory, but for the glory of God and the good of His church. And let's not hold ourselves back and miss participating in God's work here and outside of here, so that when our children look, or our children's children look and say, "So what was your contribution, Dad?" Like Bezalel and others, we can talk about being open to God, following God's plans, following God's desires, and leading others to know of God's grace and service. Our closing hymn today is hymn number 404, Faith of Our Fathers. Bezalel and others shared that faith with their children and with others around them. And at some point in time, perhaps some of our dads, our granddads, other men who were kind of like dads to us, helped to share that faith and that expectation with us. As we sing today, may we renew ourselves to living that faith, being open to that leadership of God. And our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make. Number 404, Faith of Our Fathers.